I have a craving for pasta.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I'm just saying.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I shall now alphabetically list my cravings.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Welcome to the program. How are you? Good to be with you on this fine, fine day. I hope it's fine for you in a general sense. I don't know you necessarily, but I hope you have a nice day. Hey, I'm Ron Van Dam. I've been doing this for decades and decades and decades. That's nearly 30 years of talking to the wall. And the wall loves me, but I think it ends there. I may get through to the door or the ceiling, but the wall is what I'm talking to. Oh! We all talk to the wall. We do. Don't we know people that just talk and talk and talk and talk, and you become the wall? I have a couple of acquaintances like that who just talk and talk and talk. And if you know me, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people that I know that you don't know. And they just talk and talk and talk and talk. And my response after a while becomes, Oh, really? Wow. I do that a lot. I go, wow. If you're talking to me and I respond by saying, wow, then you've gone too far and I'm really not listening to you. I'm probably clipping my toenails while you're talking or something, especially on the phone. You have no idea what I'm doing. You can talk and talk and talk. All you're going to hear on the phone is me saying, oh, whoa, wow, yes, oh, yeah, wow. You don't know what I'm doing. I could be masturbating. I could be clipping my toenails or eating a sandwich. You don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm paying my bills. I don't even consider that multitasking. I'm just not even listening to you. I'm just randomly going, wow. It's random. If I start saying wow in the middle of your sentence, it's that I'm not even waiting for you to say anything. I'm just saying wow randomly. I'm just throwing the wows out. Or I could be recording, maybe it was a recording I made earlier that just says wow on it, and I'm just keep playing it. You don't know. You have no idea. You don't know. You're not here. And you won't be in front of me ever either. But I do have friends like that that just go on and on and on and on and on and on. And if they don't say to you, and has that ever happened to you, or do you know what I'm talking about, or what do you think I should do? If they don't involve you in the conversation, then you're nothing but that wall that I was talking about. You're just a wall of sound. You're nothing. You're just nothing to them. And then after a while, you get insulted. Oh, they're talking at me as if I'm not even here. Then you start getting insulted. Like, I'm being used as a wall. I'm being used as a sounding board. I am being used like a cheap French whore. And the expensive French whores do rather well, so I'm not going there. These are the cheap French whores. You know them. They smell like cheap French perfume. They're cheap French whores. That's what I feel like. But I'm not even being paid for it. I'm a nothing. I'm something that doesn't have the balls to say, will you please shut up? Will you please be quiet?
Please be quiet. 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 please be quiet?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
You cheap French whore. I'm telling you. I don't know if everybody has the problems that I have. I assume you don't. You couldn't possibly have the problems that I have. You can't. You don't have bags that large to hold all the problems. Actually, I have very few problems. I make problems for myself. I really do. The things that I consider to be problems, other people don't even think about as problems. I manufacture problems. I'm in the manufacturing business. I manufacture problems. Oh, how long have you been doing that? Well, it was a brick and mortar thing for a while. People would come into the store and take my problems. Now we're online, and you can purchase my problems online on PayPal. It's very convenient, and I'm also my problems are also on the shelves at Amazon. They're available there. Oh, that's pretty good, Ron. You're doing well. Oh, yes, I'm doing well. I'm in manufacturing. I manufacture problems. I'm doing very, very well with it. I do. I have more problems than I can sell. I'm overstocked. We're crazy. We're overstocked. We're giving away the problems for half price today because I'm crazy. Hey, I do this show every single weekday. Let me name the weekdays for you. I'm going to do it in succession. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday's called Hump Day, but I usually don't. And then Thursday, Friday. Those are the weekdays. There's five of them. There's 7 days in a week. Five of them successively are weekdays, one after the other. And the weekend, they bunch those two together. That's when people usually don't work unless you have a weekend job. Then it's the opposite. It gets very, very confusing. But most people work Monday through Friday. And that's what I do here, if you can call this work. These shows are produced in the mornings. Do you see, this is an internet radio kind of thing. It's not a brick and mortar. So you can listen to this program any time of day, any day you wish. On this particular site, you can go back, 500 shows, I believe it is. That's binge listening that you just don't want to get into. But it's there, oddly enough, which is a wonderment. So that's why I do this, because it's a wonderment. It's just a freaking wonderment. So that's what I do. We do the shows at about 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes earlier. And by 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning on every single weekday, there's a new show sitting there waiting for you to consume. You can listen to it in the morning while you're having breakfast. You can listen to it while you're having a sandwich. During lunch, when you're doing your ironing, that's when everybody does their ironing, is during lunchtime. Anyway, I don't want to bore you anymore, so I probably won't.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Sounds like somebody needs to learn to make better choices.
Hey, kids, you know what the best job in the world probably is? Something that I've always wanted to do, but I don't have the motivation to do it, and that is to be a motivational speaker. I'm not motivated. What a wonderful job that is. You stand up in front of people that are paying money to hear you talk. Now, this is very similar to what I do now, but I'm not on a stage in front of you. I'm in a room with no pants on. And that probably ruins your entire image of what was going on. Now, I do have pants on, and they're lovely. You walk out on stage, and there's hundreds of people sitting there, and they've paid money to listen to you, not to entertain them, not to tell jokes, but to give them inside tips and information on how to be successful. But here's the problem. You can't really listen to advice from somebody about being successful if the person on stage isn't successful. So it needs to be somewhat of a celebrity or a really, really strong motivational speaker. And there are two categories of motivational speakers. One is someone who you already know who is like famous, who is a big business person or a big sociological expert, or somebody who just is so freaking bubbly that you can't imagine that they're not successful, like a cheerleader. I dated a few cheerleaders when I was in high school, and it was the most horrible, horrible experiences of my life. These girls were wound up like Energizer bunnies. They were so fake and phony. Their boobs had to be fake because they were so bubbly. It was like, hey, guess what, Ron? This is really cool. My grandmother died last night. Well, yay, Grandma. But she had a great life. Oh, she was great. Yeah, she was deteriorating. She didn't know who we were. But that doesn't matter because now she's in heaven. Yay. Ah, Grandmother. What a wonderful person. Yay, Grandma's dead. Yay. It's like, wow, shut up. You can't be enthusiastic about so much stuff. I would try to have an in-depth conversation like, Mindy, what do you think the meaning of life is?
L-I-F-E, life, yay! Who needs a meaning when it's happy, happy, happy all the time?
Wow, Mindy, you really need to be on some sort of drug or something, or Ritalin or something. She was so annoying. And I remember having sex with one of these cheerleaders and she nearly rubbed my crotch off. There was so much movement and grinding that I felt like my organs were going to shut down. She was sitting on my testicles. And let me tell you something, ladies, when you go down to the testicle land of fuzzy, squeamish little hole clams down there, you be damn careful. Those suckers hurt, man. I mean, you give that a little flick of the fingers and the guy's in pain. And he may not admit it because he's trying to be manly, but he is grimacing and he is in like pain like a car just dropped on its foot. And that's being nice about it. You don't take a machine, a drill hammer, and start drilling away at the boys. You be careful down there. You be careful down there. But this cheerleader, man, she had no concept of the human anatomy or the tender parts or any. She gentle was not in a dictionary for her. She was just bouncing up and down like I was some kind of freaking trampoline, and she thought she was being so erotically sexy, and she was being like a jackhammer in my crotch. It was just an awful experience. As a result, I don't particularly care for cheerleaders. As a matter of fact, I remember going into a supermarket a couple of months ago, and as I emerged, there were a group of cheerleaders collecting for a cheerleading competition that they were about to enter from the local high school. Not only did I not give them money, but I started hitting them with my shopping bags. I suggested that they found some type of vocation that would calm them down. I offered them hundreds of dollars in Valium prescriptions at CVS. They wouldn't take it. They didn't understand. And their parents were staring at me like I was doing something wrong offering them drugs. You know, I guess our personalities just don't match. I am fairly laid back. Fairly laid back isn't really the word for it. I'm kind of clinically dead. Cheerleaders, are just like clocks that are just overwound. I can't imagine a cheerleader ever passing away because it would be humanly impossible. I think in order to expire at the end of one's life, you need to settle down just a bit. Cheerleaders, At first, they're great because they're so motivating. They have such a great appreciation for happiness and activity and life itself, and everything is wonderful and cheery, and the outlook is always so great. And I really do appreciate that. And for the first couple of dates, that was like so motivating. I wanted to be around her all the time because she made me happy. Exhausted, but happy at the same time. And I was choosing happy over exhausted. But the problem with exhausted is, after a few days, exhausted starts really taking hold over happy. Happy doesn't even have a chance when exhausted takes over. And that's what happens with cheerleaders. And then all their friends are also exhausting. They are all cheerleaders. It's like they can't talk to somebody or have a relationship with other girls unless they're also cheerleaders. So I was trying to be happy too. And in trying to be happy to be like her, I was actually happier for a short period of time. I think it was 12 minutes. So my experience with cheerleaders are not good, but you kind of have to be a cheerleader in order to stand up on a stage and motivate people, because that's what cheerleaders do. They stand in front of people at sporting events and they motivate them to scream and shout and to jump up and down and to wear short skirts. Apparently that's what they do. You can't be a cheerleader and be very conservative. You can't say, yes, I'm a cheerleader and I wear skirts down to my ankles. No, that doesn't make sense. That's like physically impossible to do. You can't do that. People that wear long skirts are sullen people. They are dark. Everything's in black and white. They don't have sex. They just... They wear those stupid looking Christmas sweaters. It's just they drink goat's milk. It's just they're vegetarian. You can't with these people. That's the opposite of the cheerleader. And you can tell one's personality by the length of their skirt. And I'm talking about women, not men, obviously, unless you're in Scotland and you're wearing some kind of kilt, or Ireland, wherever the fuck they do that stuff. It's the length of one's skirt would actually be a demarcation of personality. The shorter the skirt, the more bubblier you are, open to suggestions, open to everything. Long skirt, closed off to the entire world. No one's infiltrating those legs, baby, nor anything within them. So that's the way it works. And if you don't believe me, then you probably wouldn't believe me. So, let's speak to a motivational speaker. What do you think? I think it's kind of perfect to do something like that. I'm exhausted just talking about this stuff. I don't even know why. All right. I need to be motivated myself. I mean, I like motivational speakers, but I'm not going to pay any money to have them talk in front of me. I'll tell you that. Author Michael Alden joins us now. He's written a very interesting book, 5% More. And it's listen to this. It's very very good stuff going on here. First of all, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Yeah, tell me about 5% More. What is that concept, and how did you come up with this?
Sure. So, you know, I wrote, this is my second book. My first book is titled Ask More, Get More, and we did really well with that. And I didn't have, like, an idea or a concept to write a second book, and it's kind of a funny story, and I always like telling it. About 2.5 years ago, I'm kind of a big guy, you know, I played college football. I was in a spinning class. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been in a spinning class, they usually, you know, they're playing the EDM-type music, and you got the person in the front of the room who's trying to pump you up, right?
Yep.
And she gets to the end of the class, it's a 45-minute class, and she says, look, These last 5 minutes, I want you to give me 5% more effort. She goes, if you give me 5% more effort, you're going to burn more calories. Your metabolic rate's going to increase. Your heart rate's going to increase. When you get off the bike, your metabolic rate's going to stay up. You're going to burn more calories. Your resting heart rate. And then she says, ultimately, you're going to live a healthier, happier life. And then she said, Ron, anybody can do anything 5% more. And it just, I get chills every time I tell the story. I looked around the whole room and there were women, there were pregnant women in the class. There were people from, you know, different ages, races, ethnicities, and nobody slowed down and everybody gave that little extra effort. And then I said, man, I wonder if I could apply this concept to virtually every aspect of one's life. And I got off the bike, I wrote it down, and that ultimately became 5% more.
Wow, just a little bit more effort and you're already further than you were before.
Yeah, that's exactly it, you know. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, there's a lot of books out there, there's a lot of programs out there and webinars and seminars that tell us this.
Yeah.
You need to be 100% on 100% of the time. You need to take massive and immediate action, or you need to ten up your actions.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, that doesn't work for 99.9% of the world's population. See, physiologically, I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination, but our brains, our bodies are not wired to do that. That's why the diet industry is so successful, because a lot of people, they make a wholesale change and they go all in, and then they fail and then they give up.
Right.
Versus if you take the baby steps, what I like to call the micro 5% steps over time, it then becomes what? It becomes habit. And then once it becomes habit, your life starts to change.
And that goes for everything in life, not just business and that kind of thing.
It does, and that's the thing. You know, I talk about all different aspects of one's life because, you know, the other thing, too, is I'm a simple guy. You know, I grew up in the projects surrounded by crime, drugs, and violence. I didn't have anything. I always just kind of wanted to get out of the project. So, as a person who didn't have much, I didn't really have resources to pull me out of the project. So I had to figure a way to get out myself and take these baby steps and these small steps. And so I talk about things like this. I have a 10-year-old little girl, so what would a child's life look like if we just read to them a little bit more? Is there research out there? Not only is there research out there, but I interviewed the head of an organization called Reach Out and Read. And Reach Out and Read, what they do is they try and educate lower-income families about the importance of reading. And then, but here's the other thing, though. In this day and age that we live in, right, English, for a lot of families, is a second language, and a lot of people don't even speak English. And then we still have a huge literacy challenge, right?
Yes.
So what do you do if your parents can't read? Is that child doomed? And that's one of the questions I ask them, and I talk about it in the book. And the answer is no, because all you really have to do is talk just a little bit more in your household. And there is hard science to show that if you just talked in your household a little bit more, the chances of your child succeeding, and we can define success later, in life increase significantly. So, I mean, I look at things like that. I look at athletics. I look at grades, you know, high school grades. And then, of course, business. Yeah, I mean, business is pretty simple stuff. I mean, what would it look like if your bottom line was 5% better? And could you do that? And the answer is yes. It's
well,
really easy to
That's an old sales theory. No matter what you do, got to give me more the next time. Congratulations, you're incredible, but I need more the next time. And it works.
It does. You know, the thing that doesn't work too, Ron, is that, you know, I've been in sales my whole life. I've been into every training and I've been to a ton of seminars. I've met with efficiency experts and goal-setting experts, and I've done it myself. At one point, I had almost 200 salespeople. And, you know, the whole adage of setting goals is important. But when you set the quote, stretch goal, that's what everyone always does. They set a stretch goal for everybody. Nobody hits it. You know, you'll have a few outliers that hit it here and there. What happens there psychologically to the people, to most of your organization, they become disenfranchised. They're not happy. They feel like they're not accomplishing anything. And so what I've said to people, kind of just what you said, look, let's just get a little bit better than what we were yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's get a little bit better than where we were a week ago.
Yep.
Let's get a little bit better next month. And the other part about this methodology, so to speak, is don't look too far out. These people say, where are you going to be in 5 years? Well, I have no idea where I'm going to be in 5 years.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure I know where I'm going to be today, and I know I'm going to be tomorrow, right? And so that's because that's how our brains work. So if we set these small, what I call 5% goals over time, the best part about that, even from a sales perspective and a business perspective, is you can see where you're going, and you can also see if you're going off track. So look at it on a daily. Look, I've met some of the most successful people in the world. I've been in rooms with literally billionaires, 100 millionaires, and they've all kind of. One of the things, I was with this one guy. He sold. His name is Harvey McKay. You've probably heard of him. He sold over 10 million books, and he said to me, "Mike, he's 85 years old. He flew in on his own private jet." He said, "Mike, since the beginning of time, there's nothing new in the world of success. There's nothing new as what is out there that what it takes to become, quote, successful. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is focus on the simple stuff, and that's exactly what 5% more. It's the simple, easy steps that anybody can do to achieve whatever form of success they want.
Well, I mean, it certainly sounds more promising than give me everything you got until you're drained and you can't breathe anymore. It sounds a lot better than that. And of course, I guess you can also apply it to relationships. You give your partner just 5% more attention, and you've got yourself a better deal.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, too. You know, a lot of people said to me, you know, I've been on, you know, a million shows already, and they say, well, give me something, you know, quantifiable, because, you know, in sales and business, and we like to have the, you know, the exact metrics. And I talk about that in the book, and there's ways to do that. But 5% more is more of an ideology or a mentality in your entire life. Mm-hmm. And when you start to think about it, when you do that inner check and say, you know what, as far as your relationship is concerned, you know, whether it be with your child or with your spouse, and you say, you know what, and look, the other thing too is, I'm as real as it gets. I mean, the honesty in the book is pretty apparent in there. So, look, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I make mistakes. But, I mean, some of the basic things, like in this day and age we're living, I mean, my cell phone is truly become an extension of my body, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're with your spouse or your daughter or your son or whatever, try to put that thing down and just be present a little bit more. Yeah. Just be present, you know? And then you always hear people say that. But here's the thing. Successful people, again, this is stuff that I've just learned from other people, right?
Yep.
Is that you have to train yourself to do it. See, every morning I wake up, Ron, and the first thing I look at on my bed, on my nightstand, is a sculpture by the artist. His name is Romero Brito. He's probably one of the most prolific artists of our time. Mm-hmm. And the sculpture is a word, and the word is happy. And the reason why it's there is because even guys like me need to remind myself how fortunate I really am for where I'm at in life, and I need to remind myself that there's no reason why I shouldn't be happy. And there are days when you wake up and you don't feel good, but we all have to retrain ourselves or constantly remind ourselves of whatever it is we're trying to do.
Michael, did you write a book or did you write the Bible? Because this stuff is major. I mean, that's the meaning of life to me, is being happy. It's a one-time journey. If you ain't happy, you messed up the journey. So, I mean, yeah, you got it going. The book is called 5% More. It's available everywhere. It better be, right?
Yeah, it's available everywhere. It's available on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon. I think it's still 99 cents for ebooks right now. I'm not sure. I know that the price is supposed to change. So for your listeners, if they want to just get it real quick, I think it's still 99 cents on some digital copies. But yeah, it's available everywhere. We're the number one business and success book in the country.
Perfect.
We're really, really happy
Perfect.
With it. And at the end of the day, I think it's really going to change people's lives.
And you better buy it soon, otherwise the price could go up 5% more. You never know. Very quickly, give me a website that we can follow.
Sure. The website is Michael-Alden, ALDEN.com. I'm also on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. It's MikeAlden2012. You can find me in there. And if anyone wants to reach out and just chat with me, I'd be more than willing to get back to people.
Dandy. We got to run. Pleasure speaking to you. I could talk to you for an hour, but I'm not allowed to. So we'll talk again.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Take care.
Michael. Bye-bye. See, now that is he's motivational. He's got that kind of voice and attitude. I don't have that. I could bore you into success, but I don't have that quality to do that. I would love to stand on stage and speak to you about something else, like plants or something. Horny culture. Is that called plants? I don't even know. But I'm not motivational, unless I stood up on stage and said, "Hi, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ron Van Dam. Do everything you can do not to be me. Just tell your kids, here's a guy who does radio, and he did some TV and some other stuff, and don't be like him." And then the kids would go, "Oh, no, we don't want to be. We'll work hard not to be." That might work. This is called self-deprecating humor, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. This is when you make fun of yourself in doing so. Usually people can't do it to you because you've already done it to yourself. It also is a large amount of pity involved. That works out. Going back to my dating days in high school and in junior high school, I dated a nurse named Pat, and she was a long-haired redhead girl, and she was half cheerleader, half nurse. And not only was she very happy about life, bounced on my crotch a lot, but she also was a medical person, so if she destroyed my testicles, she could actually repair them with duct tape. And she was like the perfect woman, again, until she started getting real bouncy and real perky, and she was very motivational. She knew all the parts, because, see, that's the benefit to dating both a nurse and a contortionist. Both of them have their very positive aspects to them. This girl knew all the parts and what to do with them, and I found that to be definitely on the top of the resume list. But that cheerleader part started infiltrating, and you know what happens to me when the cheerleader gets too close? I start to melt down, and that's exactly what happened with her. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened in my life, what kind of turn that would have taken, for the worse, most likely. Because the older I got, the more mellow I got, so I didn't need that kind of thing in my life to this date. I can't imagine that. I just can't. Oh, my lordy. I don't know. You know, sometimes I wish life were a little bit simpler, like the old West. Like the old West, where you'd walk into a saloon and order a drink and shoot your way out. Not.
Sometimes I look up high, and then I think that I might just be a better life. Away from all we know, that's where I wanna go. Out on the wild side,
when I was growing up, I didn't like Westerns. I thought they were too violent. Everybody settled their differences by having a duel at sundown, or they never have the duel at sunrise because everybody's too tired. I didn't like all that violent stuff, you know, like, no, not for me. I'm too laid back.
Trying to do what's right. The folks would come to me. They say, we need you here. I'd stay there for the night. Oh, I wish I was. Oh, oh. Round the fire, oh so bright, I'd be the Indian's friend. Let them live to be free, riding into
What if I was a motivational speaker in the Old West? I would stand on the saloon stage and talk to all the gunslingers and say, put your guns down, start dating cheerleaders. I wonder if there were cheerleaders in the Old West where, come on, Black Bart, come on, shoot him, yay! I don't think there were.
Oh, I wish I was.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
Please, no fat guys. Ladies and gentlemen, we're almost out of time for today. But don't fear at all, I shall return tomorrow with another program. For your edification. Oh my gosh. If you'd like to contact me, and I can't imagine why you would want to, you can do so by going to the email system of America and contacting me by typing in the following words, ronvandamshow@gmail.com, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you've written a book, you've done something interesting, you can put your tongue in your nose, call me. Maybe you can be a guest on the program telephonically. I don't want you in front of me. Or if there's a subject matter you wish me to discuss, lampoon, or just enjoy in a dictatorial sense, then tell me about that as well. That's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. And please visit my Facebook page, which has absolutely nothing of any content there except to try to sell you to listen to the program. Well, that's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's New England Broadcasting. Forget the word that's. I mean, that's not part of it. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. Or the Twitter thing, I believe, is hashtag Ron Van Dam Radio. I don't know what it is, but I twat every once in a while with my twit. All right. I twit my twat. I don't know what I'm saying. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.